John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
Now, let me get to this article. This is from today's Cairns Post. It's under the heading, No Reply to Mayor's Letter on Alcohols, written by Isaac McCarthy. It reads, the Cairns Mayor's letter calling for Northern Territory-style liquor restrictions in the state's north has been handballed to the police minister's office. Mayor Bob Manning, along with the Townsville and Mount Isa mayors, wrote to Deputy Premier Stephen Miles, asking him to implement a banned drinkers register, being referred to as a BDR, to curb a wave of property crime and antisocial behaviour. Now, a fortnight after being sent, Mr. Manning said he had not received a response. I'll cut to the chase here. This is what he said. What I hear the people of Cairns saying is, we want this fixed up. We want something done. And I agree with it. Do we just resign ourselves to the declining standard of living? Now, further in the article, this is very interesting because Isaac contacted the former Cairns Mayor, Kevin Byrne, who had very strong and clearly defined views on this type of behaviour, this appalling behaviour. And it reads here that, meanwhile, former Cairns Mayor Kevin Byrne said, a BDR, this is the Banned Drinkers Register, a BDR was not an effective solution for the city. Kevin Byrne said, quote, the Mayor and the Cairns Regional Council have at long last recognised that they have a role to play in ensuring the residents and visitors enjoy a safe city. He went on to say this, the Banned Drinkers Register will not make a dent in the consumption of alcohol. It's always been too easily obtained. And he went on to say this, the only interventions that will work is to get them off the streets, into diversionary facilities, or into jail, depending on the category of offending, said Mr. Byrne. I can hear the people out there cheering from here at long last. Somebody actually telling it as it is. I put a call through to Kevin Byrne, the former Mayor of Cairns, Executive Manager these days, Enterprise North. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, John.
I think that's interesting. You're getting out there and saying, listen, this is what I'm hearing from people out there at the coalface, the ocean of victims out there. They want action. Can you expand on what you had to say here?
Yes, I can, and it'd be my pleasure to do so. There's a couple of issues. Firstly, the banned drinkers register is just going to not put no dent in any of this stuff they're talking about. And frankly, I'm quite surprised with people like Bob and Terry, who's quoted in the article, who've been in this city for so long, can't see the difference here. There's two issues. The first issue is the miscreants and lawless miscreants running around our suburbs and in our backyards and trying to knock off car keys and frightening the living daylights out of people. Mm. They're certainly not full of alcohol. They're probably full of chroming and drugs and things like that, maybe. But that's an issue that needs to be handled quite separately. And that's an issue that can be handled by the reactivation of a place like a Luna Hostel, which is 16-odd hectares down in Portsmouth, where you can put some dongas on there, quite a number of dongas on 16 hectares. You can have that as a diversionary centre. You can take these offenders there, and depending on the offence, and you can take them out of society and make sure that they're near services and programs that can deal with them in a proper diversionary context. So that's that issue. You get them out of our backyards, you get them out of our suburbs, and you get them off the streets and you get them out of that offending regime that is all too prevalent today. But it's been going on for years. That's that aspect. The other aspect that the Banned Drinkers Register deals with is the chronic alcoholism by itinerants in our parks, in our public places, in alleyways and everywhere else. And the obnoxious behaviour generally that frightens, one, the living daylights out of people in the CBD, but also provides a absolutely dreadful image of Cairns at any time, but more particularly for visitors who come here that contribute to our economy. This took place many, many years ago, and some people who are listening to your broadcast today will understand that in the early 90s, this city was confronted with this exact problem. Mm. We mucked around, shilly-shallied around for ages until such time as the council of the day, and I had a role in this, decided that these people need to be, for their own safety, removed from these public places, and also for the safety of the residents of Cairns. We had a responsibility to work with the police as the council of the day to ensure that we attended to this issue. And attend to it we did. And John, many people listening will know that once we did that, it took a little while, once we did that and people understood we meant business, it disappeared. Mm. How did we do that? The council did it this way. It decided that it would take a stand on law and order in the city, take the issue into their own hands, negotiated with the Queensland Police Service that was very well led locally at the time with a superintendent, Riley Dargouche. He said, we'll look after the streets and those public places. You look after the private property of the Cairns Regional Council, which was footpaths, esplanade, parks and those sorts of things. So we did it collaboratively with a private security company, and we got them out of the parks and so on, to the extent that we even provided an opportunity for these people to be voluntarily repatriated to Lockhart River and other communities. Mm-hmm. And you can't have this, the key message here, you can't have this just occurring and kicking the can down the road and saying, oh, it's a state government responsibility, you get to and do it. And you have what we've seen in the last couple of years, this constant blame game of the council blaming the state government saying, hang on, we've got these intervention services happening and so on. We've got to, as a community, demand action and get it happening. As I'm talking to you now, I'm looking down the street here, there's a young fellow on a bike, no helmet, nothing, wandering around looking at property here that's obviously got nobody in it for a lease sign. Mm. This is the sort of people that we need doing things more productive than riding around on a bike looking for opportunistic hits to occur.
Exactly. Exactly. Kevin, how do you bring this point that you're making, which obviously clearly makes common sense to this ocean of victims out there, how do you bring this under the public spotlight and then gauge the level of support it will get out there from people who understand what is wrong with this? So many people who comment, you know, they beat around the bush. They don't want to say anything insensitive. They don't want to be labelled racist or whatever. How do we get what you've just pointed out, which is clearly deserving very much of urgent attention, how do we get that into the public realm and get action?
Well, John, I keep writing about it. And the Cairns Post are very well aware of my views. They haven't been picked up necessarily by channel, you know, by TV or anything else, but I'm out there writing about it. I write to the councillors, I write to the mayor, and I guess if you're a constant thorn in the side, eventually people will say, enough's enough, we agree, we've got to get going. You cannot keep, as a community, making excuses for the perpetrators. Mm. That's just got to change. We have to look after the people who are victims here and then deal with the perpetrators as part of an overall solution and not have a kid gloves approach to perpetrators. I'm sick and tired, and a lot of people are too, of listening to the constant refrain, oh, we need wraparound support because this problem is bigger than a lot of people think it is and so on. Been going on for years. We need these people out of harm's way, out of our way, and we need diversionary facilities to deal with them. And if they can't be dealt with in a satisfactory fashion with diversionary facilities, with support that goes into them to get them back into the family environment, deal with the families, deal with the owners of these kids, to use that term, then this community is headed for disaster. Mm. We've got to own up and we've got to institute tough love and we've got to be able to uphold the law. Mm. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all subject to the same laws, whether you're black, white or brindle. Mm. And we've got to make sure as a community that we all subscribe to that philosophy. My heart sinks when I know people in this place that I've known for decades who live in constant fear in some of the suburbs. These people are generally elderly or infirm or at risk of something else, and they are genuinely frightened. And there are lots and lots of other people out there, young families particularly, in our suburbs, and this is a growing scourge across from Palm Cove to Gordonvale, don't worry about that. But these people are genuinely concerned about their kids when they go to bed at night, hoping that somebody's not going to break through the bedroom of where the kids are. And there's more and more of this fear and perception of fear that I see as I go about my daily business living here. Yeah. I still take an interest in the welfare of this community.
Yes.
I'll continue to do so. And I'll continue to be vocal about it. And people know my track record on this. I was around in the 90s and we had a similar problem, and you can't say that the council doesn't have a role and responsibility to use as much effort as they can in providing a safe and welcoming community. Yeah. We've got to be all on board on this.
Very well said. Appreciate this, Kevin. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Executive Manager of Enterprise North and former Mayor of Cairns, Kevin Byrne.